Good morning. I want to welcome everyone here this morning and greet each one in Christ's name. I, too, was really glad to be here today and have been blessed with what has already been shared at Sunday school. And Jeff's devotions was very inspirational. I just appreciated all that. And was thinking about I wasn't here yesterday working, but was thinking about the men that got together and were working for the building back here. And you know, it's to me, that is exciting. To me, it's a sign of the church growing, and everybody working together to assist in that. And I just think that God loves that. I think God likes to see the local church working together in projects like that. And I just want to say, keep it up. I think it's a wonderful thing to do that. The subject that I want to speak about this morning actually is love for the local church people. And I want to try to make it specific this morning to our local church. Last weekend, I was in Ohio, and my sister, Evie, was showing me around the country a little. And one thing that I noticed, I had remembered it before, but it stuck out to me even more this time, how many Mennonite churches were in a very close proximity of each other. It seemed like there was a Mennonite church on every block. And it bothers me, but not in a huge way, but a question that came to my mind immediately was, why did all these churches start? And, you know, I agree that the Anabaptist population in that area is a lot greater than this area, and they have a need, but what about half of those churches than what they have? And as I thought of that, you know, I think I'm concerned that many churches start because the local church, like our church, didn't love each other as Christ commanded us to. They didn't have enough of that love to stick together to make up that local church. And I just want to encourage us this morning about that. And I had to also think, what does the community think when they see so many different churches of all the same faith? And I was reading a blog of a Christian pastor who was saying he wishes that we could have more old-fashioned local churches. He was saying that the local church is not important to many Christians like it used to be or like it should be. People aren't willing to commit or love each other properly like Christ commanded. And he also brought out, and I'm going to read a little bit of, well, it isn't his writing, but a little more of somebody else that commented on him. But he says that each church is more of a stepping stone rather than a place we call home or consider to be like close family. And therefore, love is not exercised like it should be. Because of that, being missing in the many local churches that we see, he felt that the local church, our church, churches like ours, don't have the witness for Christ that we should have. And I agree with that thought. I agree with him. This morning, I want to remind us of how important it is for us to love our brothers and sisters in our local church, this church right here. How important it is. I know that we hear it, and I know each of us know it. But I want to remind us of this. I think the more that we have a love for each other and people see us work together and caring for each other, the bigger witness it is to this community. And that's why I want to encourage us. You know, in real life, we have things happen that cause each of us, causes our love to be compromised. Right in our midst, there's unkind actions that can happen. Harsh words are said or maybe written occasionally, Maybe it's not done knowingly, but sometimes it may be. There's, you know, little disagreements maybe. And these all come because each of us naturally want to put ourselves first. And that's what they come from. So whether we do it for whatever reason we do it or don't do it, it's not justifiable. And it causes us it causes problems within our church, just little things sometimes. For example, if one brother maybe say he likes us to wear black shoes, and another brother says it doesn't matter, he feels brown shoes are fine. And that is such a simple issue, but those kind of issues can cause problems among us. Many issues are a little bit like this. And if we don't have love, these little things cause people to be at enmity with each other. So love that we need to have for each other can help us to give up our preferences and lay our way down for the sake of our brother. Regardless of what side we find ourselves, we win some and we give up some because we love each other. We don't plan on having our way. We plan on loving each other and working for the common goal of what everyone really wants or really believes we should go for. For a scripture text, if you want to turn with me to 1 John 3, I'm going to read a portion of that chapter, 1 John 3. I'm going to start at verse 11, and I think I'll read just to the end of the chapter. 1 John 3, verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And John, when he wrote this, he spoke about how this is commanded. This is what Jesus taught when he was here. Jesus said, I give unto you that you a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That we love each other just as Christ loved us. And that's a pretty tall commandment for each of us. Jesus commanded us to love one another. Talks about in the second verse I read there about how Cain killed his brother Abel. And I think it's bringing out the point that Cain killed his brother because he didn't love his brother. And if we don't love our brothers and our sisters, we hate them. Not having love for our brothers is the same as hating them. It's the same attitude that it will eventually murder them, or that the murderer has. It starts off with that. We may not think as love and hate as having no in between. But the scripture doesn't present love and hate as having an in between. In this chapter, he presents it, you love or you hate. And we don't necessarily think of it that way sometimes. And I think that we need to think of it that way, because it brings it more clear in our minds that how strong that God commanded us to love each other. If we don't love our brothers and our sisters properly, we compromise our salvation. God laid down his life for us to show us his love for us. And if we are interested in proving our love for our brothers and sisters, then we should be willing to lay our lives down for our brothers and sisters. So if you see your brother and sister in need and you pass by with no compassion, you know, to help, how can that demonstrate the love of God? You know, it doesn't. And in the church, there are always certain people who we may have a personal hardship towards. There will always be in the church someone who treats us, maybe we feel unkindly or disrespectful. But we are still commanded to love one another regardless of how we get treated or how we get respected. We're supposed to still love and be kind and show respect. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about how love is patient and kind. And if we love, sometimes it's very hard to love because of what's been done to us. But we need to. We need to. That's what Jesus commanded us to do. One of Abraham Lincoln's most outspoken political enemies was named Edwin J. Stanton. You probably know this story, but I'll say it again. Stanton didn't like Lincoln, and he called Lincoln a low, cunning clown. And he also called him the original gorilla. That's sort of funny, but I don't think he said it for funny. I think he was sort of upset at him. And he told people, it's ridiculous for people to go to Africa to see a gorilla when they can find one easily in Springfield, Illinois. But Lincoln never responded. He didn't say anything to those insults, and they were an insult to him. And when he was elected president, he chose Stanton to be his Secretary of War. And they asked Lincoln, why did you do that? And he said, because he is the best man. And then later, when Lincoln had been assassinated, Stanton stood by the coffin, which contained Lincoln's body, and said through his tears, there lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever seen. Patient love in action won this man over in the end. And in the church, it's the same way. When we have people in the church that don't speak good of us, or they maybe disrespect us, make us fun of us, or within, it happens. It happens within us. Whether it happens knowingly or unknowingly, we sometimes aren't treated like we should be treated, or we feel we should be treated among our own brothers and sisters. And, you know, we need to forgive them, people, and love them. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus commanded. And it's the hardest thing to do. But this very thing, that doing that, this is the very thing that makes the church, the local church, this church here, it's the very thing that makes it a wonderful place to be. It is when the church, the local church, is showing Christ to the world. And I just had this, I want to illustrate how this goes a little better. And this is, may seem like a very crude illustration to you, and I hope I can explain it clearly. But let's imagine that Christ is in the center of all local churches. And Christ is this huge universal gear. He's actually a big steel gear, and that's turning. And all the local churches throughout all the world are a small gear that meshes into that big gear that's always turning. Christ's gear, the gear that we would consider to be Jesus. And each member in the local church is a cog in that small gear. Just one cog is each member in the local church. And as that gear of Christ turns, all the local churches of the world, and the local church's gears are meshed into Christ's gear, And from that, we get the churches, the local churches get their power and their strength to live their Christian lives because we are meshed in with Christ's gear. And as we all know about gears, that if gears are not lubricated, after some time, they will begin to get hot. And after they get hot, they begin to squeak and become angry and frustrated. And I want to think of Christ's love, Jesus, the love of Jesus, as oil to lubricate our gear, the local church. His love is what lubricates our small gear, our local church. And the love of Christ, as our gears mesh, will flow over the local church's gears, and so that they don't become hot and they work smoothly. The better our church gear is meshed with the gear of Christ, the more oil of Christ's love will flow into our gear, and the more love each of our church will have for each other. Another thing that can happen with our cogs, or one member, if one member is chipped or has something wrong or something is not quite right, one cog of that gear, then it makes that our gear cannot mesh correctly with Christ's gear because one cog has a chip or has something, a ragged edge, that keeps it from, and it keeps our gear from running smooth. If all the cogs on our gear of this local church would start failing, eventually all the gears would wear down where we wouldn't even mesh with Christ's gear anymore. We would completely miss the main gear. We would have no more power or strength, and we for sure would lose our love. But that's the first thing that we lost, was our love. When we lose our love for each other, our gears start failing because we lose everything that we have. We lose our doctrine, we lose our faith, we lose it all because we, first of all, didn't have love for each other, and we couldn't mesh correctly with the main gear, and we couldn't have the oil of Christ's love on our gear. And eventually the church will become nothing but just a bad feeling in this community. And I would like to look at, a personal responsibility, maybe in a practical way. You know, each cog in that gear is one member in this church. Each of us are one cog in this big gear that we have. And each cog has to do its part, has to do what it's supposed to do. Each cog has to have love for the brethren, and or we will not be oiled properly. We will not mesh properly. Each of us needs to be willing to lay down our lives, to lay down our way of thinking, because we love our brother, because we love each other. We don't want to just push our way, our agenda. This is part of laying our lives down for the brethren. And we have to admit that there isn't any of us here this morning that think exactly alike. And so we are always going to feel differently than the person beside us. And we as brothers and sisters, we should say how we think. And we should communicate to each other about how we think. And even how we differ in our thinking. We should be open with that. But in the end, we have to be willing to lay down our differences and agree on the focus of the same goal that we want to accomplish, the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. And this process is like filing down our rough edges of our personal cog so that our whole gear will mesh even better with Christ. And just repeat again, you know, one cog that is not oiled or one member that doesn't have love has an effect on the whole scheme. It has an effect on the whole kingdom, and it has an effect on the local church, this church. If one cog doesn't have love and doesn't get the oil that it needs of Christ's love, it affects all of us. So if you think that one cog isn't going to matter, you know, it is going to matter. I have to think of Christian people who don't want to become part of a church because they can't find the right gear to attach themselves to. And these people really make it hard to be meshed into the main gear of Christ. You know, it takes more than one person to be able to mesh into a gear. One cog can't mesh into a gear all by itself. It takes at least two. And I think it's better for at least three. But I don't know. I didn't study gears very good. But it doesn't seem like two or three will do as good as a bigger gear. Of course, it has many cogs. If one member doesn't have love and is continually depending on all the other cogs to love enough to provide enough oil for his cog, you know, that will work for a time, because the love from the person next to him will go over to him. But eventually, he will still get more wear on him because he doesn't have love. And so we have to recognize that even if we're one in the midst of 100, we can't get by. We are going to have an effect on the whole 100, and we are going to eventually be very hard on our own cog, and our own cog will wear out eventually, where maybe our gear will completely miss the gear of Christ. So the church needs you, and the church needs your love to function properly. We have to have love for our brethren. Jesus commanded us to do this. And love will keep us strong. Love is what will keep us faithful. If we don't have love, our doctrine will fail. If we don't have love, our local church here is really nothing. And in closing, there's an article that I would like to read. And I hope I can do this. It's a fairly long article, but this was it very interesting to me, what this writer had to say. He said, the title of his article is, "Love Your Local Church. Love Your Local Church. She is your very own." I'm sad to say that the love for a specific local church is going out of fashion among Christians today. Many see their current church home as something to be tolerated rather than delighted in. They see themselves as strangers passing through who never really put down roots. In the trends toward a transient population who move their home and or change churches frequently, it's easy to understand the emotion and disconnection many feel. Even the desire to serve God in ministry by church planting can translate into part of a person's heart not truly being given over to the group of people with whom they currently meet on Sunday. If I will only be able to attend a particular church for a short time, the argument goes, why get too involved emotionally? Many church members, often including those involved in some type of leadership, are best considered part of a floating community. An unwritten contract even exists between some churches and their pastors, which strongly suggests that neither party expects or desires the relationship between the leader and the led to be a long-term one. When a church becomes merely a stepping stone in some kind of a ministerial career, I fear we have drifted away from the concept of what is still more tragic than the floating population of many churches are those who claim a Christian faith without attending church. The truth is that without being part of a church, any Christian is like a fish out of water. They might flap around enthusiastically for a while, but they won't make any real progress, and eventually even the flapping will cease. In the vast majority of cases, their faith will simply die. And I'm so glad that a number of years ago, I discovered that my own church is truly home for me. I love the fact that for many of our visitors say something like, "I feel as if I've come home," even after only their first or second visit. What is interesting in that is that despite the fact that I first walked into the congregation of which I now a member back in 1995, it took several years before I began to understand that this church really is home. It's not that I didn't enjoy it in the early years. It's not that I even realized early on that anything was lacking in my sense of belonging. I think that a deep-seated sense of truly belonging to a people that you call your own requires two things. First, a clear decision of commitment to the church, and following the decision, the passing of a significant portion of time. Has God placed you in a church that is led by godly men whom you trust and who teach you God's word with integrity and in such a way that you can follow them with a good conscience? If so, May I encourage you to allow God to stir a greater love in your heart for this church He has given you. I pray that many of you will become increasingly convinced that your local church community truly is your own people and the place where God would have you put down deep relational roots. The church is a place where discipleship happens. It is where the one another of the Bibles, the one another's of the Bible are fulfilled. It is where the lost are reached. It is where God's glory is revealed in all its richness. If you are not a member of a church and want to live as a Christian, find one. Find the best one you can. But don't be so choosy that you only see problems everywhere you go. It's easy to be contrary and say something like this: this church has too much loud modern music for my taste, but that church sings too many old hymns. This church has too many old people, but that church has too many young people. This church has sermons that last an hour, but in that church the sermons are far too short and not my taste. This church was not friendly to me, but in that church they were over familiar with me on my first visit and made me feel hounded. You get the message? But I suspect that underlying all such petty reasons not to join a church lies more than often than not a simple fear. It is the same sort of fear that it felt by a single guy who likes to date women after women, but never takes the plunge into marriage. It can also be the fear of allowing a stranger into your life and the worry about what people will think if you begin to open up. Maybe you have loved a church before and you do not dare to love again. Jesus will never let you down, while churches will. But Jesus wants to lovingly place you in a community of His people where you will be able to experience His love manifest toward you by others, where you will have leaders who can ask to speak into your life and advise and train you, where God's word is taught and revered. If you feel that you cannot find a suitable church within a reasonable drive of your house, then it seems to me there can only be three possible reasons for this. Either you have called from God to help in some way to plant a new church in your neighborhood, you are living in the wrong area and it's time to move to a different home, you have been far too fussy in your criteria for your church choice. I suspect that the vast majority of people in such position, the third option is a correct one. Church choice should be a strong influence on our decision about where we live, whereas it is often the last thing people consider. When offered a new job, I'm so glad that God helped me to succumb to the temptation once offered me by a generous relocation package. It was definitely right for me at the time to instead commute a significant distance to work so I could remain in my church. In our current era of job mobility, this is, of course, not always quite straightforward. I think that the biggest temptation when it comes to church is to be overly critical. Yes, in a church, and it is true that my current church doesn't have, in fact, it all. In fact, there is a big difference between what our vision for what our church could be and the reality of where we are today. But it is a delight to me that my brothers and sisters are not frustrated by this difference, but rather are stirred to move over even closer to that biblical vision of what our congregation can be. We are a church on the move, and I am convinced that we are closer to that vision this year than we were last. I'm willing to be patient, to watch this dear family of mine grow. I am part of the family, so I try as much as possible not to look to them to provide for me, and instead ask what I can do to help my church fulfill the purposes God has for it. Of course, along the way, I do also gain much from my church, especially its leaders. If many people are all seeking to help each other in whatever way they are gifted, we all benefit massively. My prayer is that I will always be part of the solution in my local church and never a part of the problem. I am determined to remain here forever, however long God wants me to. I said that wrong. I genuinely hope and believe this is very likely to be a rather long time, however long I'm here. I trust that God will continue to give me a growing love for the dear people. For me personally, it is the best church in the world, and while I know I'm rather biased, I am convinced that is no bad thing. As I write this, I am praying that in the coming months, God will bring all of you to a position of truly loving a local church despite all its imperfections, in recognizing it is the best church in the world for you. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And this was a long article, and I hope it didn't bore you too badly. But I really appreciated his emphasis on loving your local church and caring for it and being happy about it. Regardless if we have our imperfections and we're not what we want to be, we probably never are going to get to what we really need to be, but we still all focus for that goal, and we all go for that, and we care for each other and overlook some of the things that some of us do that are not nice. And so the last thing I'd just like to say, that we should love the Church of Jesus Christ fervently and commit ourselves to the love of the local church, this our people here, with an attitude of laying down our lives for each other and giving it all for our local church. And I know that the kingdom of God, the whole kingdom of God, is important. But I think when we become part of a church and when we join a church, it's especially nice if we can take that attitude for the local. It can build each other up and keep us focused on what will keep us oiled in Christ's love. Anyhow, I guess I don't have much any more to share. I'll close with that and leave it open for you to share if you have anything that you'd like to maybe add or from that.